There is the unseen presence of the Holy Spirit at work in your life as a believer that is moving you in the direction of holiness. God is at work in you.
Today's culture promotes sin in every form, but Jesus gave His life so that we could pursue a godly life, despite what the world is pushing at us. Hello, I'm Bill Wright. Today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green brings you the final message in our teaching series, A Refresher on Holiness. Don, why should we pursue a holy life?
Well, Bill, I guess I go back to that familiar text that I've mentioned a few times in the series, Philippians 2:13, God is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. We are on the receiving end as Christians of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. He works and changes our desires and shapes our will so that we desire holiness. We desire to grow in Christ. And He helps us and enables us in a way that takes us beyond our natural ability and does not simply leave us to the consequences of our remaining corruption. And so, my friend, what we do in the Christian life is this. We consciously pursue in our own hearts what God is already putting there on our own behalf in the Holy Spirit. So even in the midst of your failures, my Christian brother, my Christian sister, you can be confident that Christ will keep you to the end. He's a gracious Savior. He's a merciful God. He's good to His people. And though you and I may stumble badly along the way, Christ will keep us and renew our desires so that we will seek Him and find ourselves safe in heaven at the end.
Thanks, Don. And friend, you won't want to miss a moment as our teacher unpacks more about pursuing holiness on today's program. Let's join him now in the Truth Pulpit.
When you're mindful of the outcome of your Christian life, that becomes so much sweeter to you. Your time of discouragement is actually a time to make the anticipation of seeing Christ all the sweeter to your affections. Because you realize there's nothing in this world that's worth loving anyway, ultimately, compared to being with Christ. And if you're going through a time of discouragement, let the hope that it's all going to be turned around and in the glorious presence of Christ give you that which brings hope and holiness and a desire to persevere through it. And let the future sweeten the hard times that you're going through right now. That's the way that it works. We love Christ and we love our future more than anything that we have in this present life. Third point, tenth point for the series, the pardon of God. The pardon of God. And this is a sweet one. Those of you that are Christians, to one degree or another, maybe you came to Christ early in life and you didn't have a full experience of sin that brings you pain as you remember it now, like some of us do that were saved in our adult years. But one way or another, to be a Christian means that you understand that by God's sovereign grace and sovereign prerogative, He has saved you out of sin, pardoned all of your sin. He has completely forgiven you and removed your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. Scripture says that He's buried your sins in the bottom of the sea, illustrating the sense that they are gone, buried, forgotten, never to be raised by God against you ever again. That's wonderful. To have that which was formerly a weight on your conscience, a terror to your soul as you anticipated the judgment of God, to realize that God has excised that, forgiven that, removed it from you, and taken it away so that He would never bring it up against you again. Instead, has declared you righteous, said that you are acquitted before my bar of justice. Indeed, I count you as righteous as my own son. So complete and full is the pardon. Well, don't you think that would motivate you to holiness as well? Just out of sheer gratitude Sheer wonder. Oh, it is so good to have my sins forgiven. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 6. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Scripture says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." To realize that to come to Christ is to come to, in a sense, to infinite compassion. If your sins were too many to be counted, they were more than the hairs on your head, and God has forgiven you, then you've got a pardon that is goes beyond mathematical calculation. And that there is an undeserved compassion that God has had upon your soul. And you start to realize, and that starts to sink in, that when Christ bore your sin in His body on the cross, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, that what He was doing was He was sealing you in the grace and goodness of God for all of eternity, that He had wiped away your sins forever and evermore. Amen. And it starts to dawn on you that one of the points of that, one of the applications of that, one of the benefits of that, beloved, is this, is that you do not have to spend your life wallowing around in past regrets. You do not have to dwell in cringing fear about what your future failures may be. God has given you a complete pardon of all of your sins forever and evermore. 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses you from all sin." Not some, all. There is not a sin that a Christian has committed, past, present, or future, that God will hold against them. Why? Because Christ took it all upon Himself at the cross on our behalf. That's how complete His intercession was for you. God has been full of compassion to you. He has abundantly pardoned you when you turn to Him. All of the immorality, all of the chemical stuff that you did in the past, all of the bitter thoughts and the rancid things that you did toward others, all of the indifference that you showed to God and to His holiness, the way you neglected His Word and neglected prayer and cursed the name of Christ in your unsaved days. What am I doing? I'm reciting my own biography. And you glance at that and say, "God pardoned it all. He wiped it all away. I stand clean and forgiven, righteous, declared righteous in the presence of a holy God. So full has His pardon been." Well, what does that do to you now, today, in the realm of living the Christian life? What kind of force does that bring to bear upon your spiritual affections? Just, what else can it do? Say, "You know what? I want to live a godly life." It's not even complicated, is it? It's not even difficult. You don't need a PhD in theology to understand this. God has forgiven all of your sins. You're really grateful for that. You love the freedom of a clear conscience and being delivered from the fear of the punishment of God, and you're so joyful for that. What does that do except motivate you toward holiness, to make you want to desire to live for Christ and to turn away from sin and that which displeases Him, to motivate you to spend time in His presence, in His Word, in prayer, and just honoring Him and worshiping Him, not because you're asking for something earthly. You're just mindful of the fact of, "Oh God, You've been so good to me. All I can do is fall before You and worship You and thank You for the abundant grace, the amazing grace that You've shown in my life." And your heart's overwhelmed with it and consumed so that there's not room for a simultaneous love and pursuit and cherishing of sin. You're so taken by the pardon of God that it drives out ungodly affections from your heart. The pardon of God moves you toward holiness. Well, there's one last one that we'll look at here in this series. We've seen how the punishment against sin, the promise of Christ's reward, the pardon of God, all of those things motivate you toward holiness. Hard to compare these one to another. They're all infinitely good and all infinitely found in His Word. Final one for the series, what motivates you toward holiness? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. You could say the presence of the Holy Spirit since He indwells you. In all of these things, as we've brought these things to bear on our thinking and with the expectation that God would use them to shape and deepen and sanctify our hearts, sanctify us in the truth because His Word is truth. In all of these things, you remember the Holy Spirit and you remember this. You are not alone in your pursuit of holiness. You're not alone. You are not left to your own power. You're not left to your own devices. You're not left to the energy of your own efforts in this pursuit of holiness. This is incredible. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the most blessed Trinity, dwells within you to energize and to prompt your obedience and to lift you beyond your natural ability and help you to attain things in your pursuit of holiness that you could never do on your own. Why? Because there's a supernatural force, a supernatural godly energy at work in your heart to bring you beyond what your natural affections could ever achieve on their own. There are three aspects of this that I want to consider with you. What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, first of all, He gives you understanding in the Word of God. He gives you understanding in the Word of God. Look over at 1 John, just after the book of Hebrews and 1 and 2 Peter. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. John, the apostle, we studied this some 3 or 4 years ago. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says, "As for you," speaking to believers, in contrast to the deceivers that were present in verse 26, you had the deceivers in verse 26 and now the believers in verse 27. He says, "As for you," those that John considered his little children, that he referred to as brethren, those that he called beloved and children throughout the letter. He says, "As for you, you true Christians," here's what I want you to remember. It's a pastoral point that he makes. He says, "The anointing which you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him." What's he saying? He's saying the Holy Spirit dwells within you and teaches you and communicates the truth of God to you in a supernatural way. He enlightens your understanding and He helps you understand the teaching of God in a way that goes beyond what your human intellect would allow. Psalm 119 speaks of the fact that the man who is devoted to the Word of God has more understanding than the aged, because His Word is His meditation. And so God blesses His children with the indwelling Spirit. And one aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us is to teach us and instruct us and to guide us into the truth. You have the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you to energize and prompt your obedience. You are able to understand truth in a way that unbelieving seminary professors at liberal seminaries can't get. You have more understanding as a simple believer in Christ than the most educated man in religious studies does that does not have the Spirit dwelling within him. It's supernatural. It's beyond human ability. And you know what this is like, don't you? You've all known people through time, perhaps older saints now that have gone on before us to the Lord. And you realize that there was a depth to the things that they said. You say, wow, that's really insightful. You say, well, he didn't even go to seminary. Well, no, he doesn't. Yeah, of course, the Holy Spirit developed him and instructed him and enlightened him and illuminated his understanding. Do you know that that's there for you too? The Holy Spirit is graciously empowering and expanding your understanding as well as you give yourself to His Word. What else does the Spirit do? Secondly, He produces the attitudes of a godly life. Look at Galatians chapter 5. We'll go to a familiar text. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. What we're looking at is the power of the Spirit at work in your heart, motivating you toward holiness. How is it that we know that we can succeed in our pursuit of holiness? The Holy Spirit indwells us. And what does He produce in us? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. When you walk in obedience to God's Word, when you are submissive to Christ, when you are yielded to the Spirit, this is what He produces in you. And it's a single, multifaceted fruit. These things come out of your heart because the power of the Spirit is at work in you. Finally, we can say this, is that the Spirit expands your power. The Spirit is at work promoting your sanctification in a way that goes beyond what your individual effort does. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Go to the right from Galatians across Ephesians into the book of Philippians. And we will end here. Philippians chapter 2. The thing here is to walk out with a sense of the grandeur of Christian salvation. A sense of the awesome destination that is ours when we see Christ face to face. And to realize that in the interim, God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit is moving and empowering and directing us in the same direction. We're not alone in our pursuit of holiness. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There is a responsibility on you to pursue this. As a Christian, you cannot be indifferent to your own sanctification. Say, I'll take it or leave it. No, you're not passive in the process. It's not a matter of what they used to say, let go and let God, and the thing that you most need to do is just abandon all self-effort. That's not true. You are commanded by God to exert your spiritual effort in the pursuit of your sanctification. You're meant to try to work it out, and with an attitude of fear and trembling. And so you take advantage of the Word, you take advantage of prayer, you gather together with God's people, you think through principles like what we've covered in this series, you direct your mind in that direction, and when all of that is said and done, verse 13, you realize that you're not alone in the pursuit. Verse 13, Philippians chapter 2, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. As you make this pursuit of holiness, you realize that there is an unseen, hidden, as it were, current of power. There is an ongoing force from the very personal hand of God at work, sanctifying you and directing you in this direction. I often think, when we used to go to the beach, when we lived out at that other place, wherever that was, I never can remember. When you were in the ocean, you had to be careful because there were undercurrents that were carrying you. There was a force of the stream of water that you could not see that was moving you in a particular direction. Well, in a holy, sanctified way, there is the unseen presence of the Holy Spirit at work in your life as a believer that is moving you in the direction of holiness. God is at work in you, it says, to will and to work for His good pleasure. God fully intends to work out His purpose in your salvation. And He doesn't leave the whole thing up to you. He's so committed to it that He carries it out in the person of the indwelling Spirit and moves you in that direction. You say, well, maybe I'll just stray and walk away. Well, you can expect the discipline of God in your life if you start to stray. God has more than sufficient power, wisdom, and understanding to discipline you, to keep you in the narrow path if you stubbornly turn away from it. That's on the warning side, on the encouragement side. Those of you who feel the weight of your failures, say, oh, I want to be godly, but I fall short so much and I get so frustrated and worn out in it all. Will you step back and come to the sweetness of God's Word here, brother or sister in Christ? God is at work in you. You can take it on the authority of His own Word. He is at work in you to accomplish what He desires. And while you may feel the weight of your failures, you can look right here to God's Word and realize that He is intending to accomplish the fullness of His purpose, to will and to work for His good pleasure. He is at work in you, even though it seems like you may be failing along the way. The presence of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit is at work. God has given you the Holy Spirit to help you become the godly person that you aspire after. He hasn't left you alone. Christ said, I won't leave you as an orphan. And so the Spirit cultivates your understanding, stimulates righteous desires, and over time brings all of these things to your mind as you walk with Christ. Beloved, you know what the outcome of your salvation is going to be. You know what's happening as you walk with Christ in this period in your life? The presence of the Spirit of God in you means for certain that God will accomplish far more in you than you could do on your own. He will lift you beyond your sinful disposition and equip you and empower you to walk with Christ and produce a final result that is far beyond what you could have done on your own. The presence of the Spirit gives you confidence as you go forward. And so, what can we say? We take all of these things together, and you and I collectively as believers in Christ, we contemplate these things, we realize the holiness of God that motivates us to a reverence toward Him, a love toward Him that desires to please and serve Him. We recognize the pardon of God that creates a profound gratitude in our hearts that moves us in the direction of holiness. And we recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we have a sense of confidence and gratitude and reverence and fear and love all coming together, multiple streams and forming a river of devotion to glorify the God of your salvation. Of course, the challenges are great. Of course, life is difficult. From Ephesians chapter 6, it's not just earthly circumstances. There are supernatural forces arrayed against us to make this difficult. But we can stand firm with the confidence knowing that God has equipped us for the battle. We remember what God has done, and we are steadfast with the sense that the one thing that we want to do is to glorify the one who will most certainly bring us to heaven.
You've been listening to Pastor Don Green teaching the final message of his series, A Refresher on Holiness. Our prayer is that you are now motivated to pursue a deeper relationship with the Lord that will be evident through your thoughts and actions. Well, Don has more impactful teaching for you next time on the Truth Pulpit, so plan now to be with us. But right now, Don's back here in studio with a special invitation.
You know, friend, we realize that you may not be close enough to our church to be able to join us as you would like to on any given Sunday. So let me invite you to join us on our live stream that you can find at our website, Sundays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And also we have a midweek service on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. We would love to have you join us in that way. A lot of people do. You might as well be one more that join us for those special studies of God's Word and our church services on Sundays and Tuesdays. Here's Bill with some final information to help you find us.
Thanks, Don. And friend, don't forget to visit us at thetruthpulpit.com, where you can get free copies of our messages. I'm Bill Wright. Join us next time when Don Green presents more from the Truth Pulpit.